Morning. Okay, it's Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, Erev Bedikas Chometz. We're focused on Hergodah, but the first thing we'll say is that, as you know, the Rambam writes that the din of Simcha Beregel is all set, it's all 7 days. Today, outside Eretz Yisrael, we have 2 days of Yontav, 8 days, the Mitzvah of Simcha. It's not just for the Yontav itself, even the Chol HaMoed. In the Chol HaMoed, there's a special Mitzvah of Simcha. Therefore, I recommend, you try to, if you like wine, have a cup of wine each day at Chol HaMoed. I think for religious purposes we have an allowance, I think, John. So you could go have wine, or the ladies, whatever the ladies enjoy, some things, and the men enjoy different things, whatever they might enjoy. You should go ahead and, I'm not recommending drinking for the ladies, only dalakosas at night. You recommend they're supposed to drink the 4 cups.
There's nothing wrong with women drinking any more than men drinking. Maybe you don't go overboard.
Okay, but I don't think it's so recommended as much as I think men can handle the wine. I think it's a little easier than the ladies can handle the wine. That's what I think.
High tolerance.
And therefore, we should do things of Simcha. Every day of the holiday, do things of Simcha. You should know that, therefore, when people go all these trips, the people go on Chol HaMoed, they're really, in a certain way, they're filling a mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha.
Even though it's
Reis Moed, because you're doing Simcha, things that matters of Simcha. So that's something that we have taken to mention. Also, from a halachic point of view, also, the dress of Chol HaMoed is supposed to be from at least one notch higher than your regular dress. That means whatever your weekly dress today is, Chol HaMoed should be one notch higher. You should honor Chol HaMoed by dressing a little better. We don't require you to wear Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed. There was some rabbi that wore Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed, but it's not enough. It's not, you don't have to wear Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed. But that's why, if you'll see, I think the Hasidim, you'll see them with the shrimwald and everything, but it's not an obligation. But definitely, you wear your nicer shirt, and your nicer tie, your nicer whatever slacks or whatever it is, nicer sweater, nicer yarmulke, I don't know, whatever you want, whoever you could identify that you're honoring, it should be really honorable. I don't know if a yarmulke is just a nice yarmulke is enough. You see what I'm saying? There's a concept of honoring the holiday, by holiday, the way you dress is showing that it's also different. So that's something that we have to also remember. Also, you could all remind your fathers about buying something for your mother in honor of the holiday. Especially a piece of jewelry is very appropriate, or obviously if some clothing, if not jewelry, it also depends on what people could afford. That definitely they should make sure, but hopefully your mother knows to do that, in case your father does not ask you, so do it anyway, and she'll put it on the credit card. Hopefully, with that special mitzvah of Simcha for your mother, that your father is a mitzvah to make sure that the father makes sure that the wife's happy, children are happy.
You have a mitzvah to make your parents happy.
You always have the mitzvah of honoring your parents, and that's definitely, if you make them happy, I presume that's also some sort of honor, and therefore you should keep that in mind. Okay, as you know, also you should also try to encourage that tomorrow night, right when the Seder, right when it's dark, or right when you're coming from shul, it's dark, people shouldn't dilly dally. People like to schmooze and talk until the Seder starts. It could take you 45 minutes to sometimes to an hour to start the Seder from the time you come home. From a halacha perspective, you really should not do that. You should really get started as soon as possible once it's dark, because you're afraid that people might fall asleep, especially the children, especially if they're children. What?
They
give special things for the kids. You don't want people to fall asleep. People have to be up. It's very important.
And you have to finish breakfast.
And really, it's definitely supposed to try your best to have that. At least the afikoman by chatzos.
My family, we barely make the afikoman by chatzos.
Right. A lot of people.
Have a very large
right.
That's
but.
The point is
that you have to go ahead, but you know what? It depends on starting time, what kickoff time is, right? If you get the kickoff on time or as soon as possible, you can say, we'll schmooze later, schmooze at the meal, whatever it is, but that's very important. But you could also go ahead and say to your parents, I want to help out to make sure that everything is ready when we come home. Not that we just say to our parents or wherever it is, have everything ready, you know, I'll see you later.
Yeah, although you still can't stack before it stays.
Right, exactly. But we're not worried about that, because by the time all the shuls daven, by the time you come home, it'll definitely, most likely will be, Sefer Chavim will be dark. So therefore, we have to just, also important to get the Seder started properly. Also, it's important, take out a nice Haggadah before, prepare between today and tomorrow. What are you going to be using at the Seder? You know, sometimes, you know, whatever you find, but maybe you could do a little homework beforehand. Either buy yourself a new Haggadah every year. There's many new Haggadahs that come out, something new, something fresh. As the Sefer Chinuch writes, the idea of every person to write his own Sefer Torah. But what's the idea of writing your own Sefer Torah? It's not enough if you inherited a Sefer Torah from their father. It's not enough. They have to write their own. Something new, something fresh. That's what he suggests. Maybe when people appreciate something new, right? And you take an old sitter and take a new sitter, you know, it's much more user-friendly and it's more new safer, especially today's day and age, the way they do things, and, you know, it's very appealing, so to speak. So therefore, that's a nice idea. But if you're not going out to buy a new Haggadah, you should take a look at your shelf, spend a little time, prepare a little bit, maybe something, what you want to say, Divrei Torah. Every meal Divrei Torah is supposed to be said, right? Prepare something in advance or something, or download an interesting shir on Haggadah or something, or something, print out or something. Come prepared to the Seder. You know, so that's really, and also you should know, when you say a Divrei Torah at a Seder, it definitely enhances the Seder. People appreciate hearing something. Well, everyone, and obviously you think, you know, that it should be something that people will benefit from, hopefully inspirational, and, you know, take to the next level. Okay, so that's a little bit ideas from a little bit from a halachic perspective, and also everyone has to be careful, of course, to lean on your left side. It's a requirement by men. It would seem like it's not a requirement by at least Ashkenazi women. I can't tell you for the Sephardi women, because for the Ashkenazi women, it does not seem to be an obligation today for Ashkenazi women to recline on their left side. If they want to recline, it's very fine. It's very good. But it doesn't seem to be an obligation. But for the Ashkenazic men, it is definitely an obligation to recline on the left side. I would just recommend, just from a practical approach, you know, also you're supposed to have a pillow, preferably you have a pillow. You take your chair and you turn it like this. If you turn your chair like this, and you, that's pretty practical. You're leaning on something. So that's the practical way I've seen. I it's very simple. And yet for the four kosos, for the matzah and for korech. Some say for the whole suda, but you're not obligated. We don't say you're obligated to recline for the whole suda. The main thing is for the matzah and for the korech and the four kosos. If a person did not recline, I am Mishtabura, he discusses what you do, you know, differences between, you know, about the first two cups, the last two cups, and then you'll see the whole discussion about that. Okay. Now, I once saw in the name of the Sadegir Rebbe, if you take the letters, look at the letters of Chometz and the letters of Matzah. I wouldn't know yet. What, very similar. Two out of three are identical, right? Chometz, you have what? Mem and Tzadik. And Matzah, you have Mem and Tzadik. What's the whole difference between Chometz and Matzah, the letters? It's the hay and the ches. Right? And the Kupa Union guys are thinking numbers.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the letters itself. Open. The hay is open on the top and the bottom, and the ches is only open on the bottom. It's very similar letters. So the Sadegir Rebbe says the idea is that it's a very small difference between a chametz and matzah. But you have to know, the small things in life make the big difference. It's not only the big things in life, it's not only the meat and the potatoes. Dessert and little things also make a big difference. Of course, we always recommend you have to focus on the meat and the potatoes, right? People focus on Kabbalah and all these things, it's not the meat and the potatoes. You got to focus on the meat and the potatoes. But dessert, when you reach the age, proper age to do Kabbalah, depending, Ashkenaz, Sfarad, whatever your menagim are. But there's dessert, something called dessert. And you have to understand, but the dessert also makes a big difference. So therefore, I'm not advocating the study of Kabbalah now.
I don't think the little thing is the difference between the ham represents the dessert, the little thing. I think there's a little thing in the meat and potatoes, as you call it, the details.
Okay, there's many ways you can say the details. You can say the things that people think are small. You know what? You go ahead and you greet everybody with a smile.
What?
Right? You greet everybody with a smile.
There isn't much to study.
No, there's a tzaddik and chametz and a tzaddik and matzah.
Oh, yeah.
So the difference is only... It's all right. No, that's because it's the one to end the letter, one to the beginning, whatever. Bottom line is, it's a little thing, it's a little thing also that makes the big difference. It's that smile, it's that compliment, and really, really in a certain way, I would say, there's no such thing as a little thing. Even though something that might appear to be small. A smile, a compliment, a good word, whatever it might be, or the details that some of the things that Yitzchak said, but those things make the difference in what's kosher and what's not kosher in life. And that's also an idea. And also I think that, I think I maybe saw someone's chametz, if you notice chametz is only open on the bottom, focus is only in this material world, this chametz is on the bottom, and matzah is open both on the top and the bottom. The focus, yeah, what?
The upper half of the side.
Upper half and the bottom. So that's symbolic of the idea. Yeah. We have to put our focus both, we're down here in this world, but also we have to connect with the matzah. Connect in a spiritual sense. And also I wanted to say that matzah, as you know, the halacha is, you only can make matzah from something that has the ability to become what?
Chametz.
If they cannot have the ability to become chametz, you can't have matzah, kosher matzah for the Seder. Maybe b'derech drush, you could say, that's the idea of a human being. Every human being, chametz we know represents the Yetzer Hara, desire, delicious, right? Bagels are delicious. And matzah represents... It's not, you know, it's more spiritual. It's not so much for the physical desire. It's more spiritual.
You know, you can make bagels matzah too.
Okay. But it's not as tasty as we all know. As we all know, we're not eating matzah products all year round too much. But it represents, they say, the matzah, it rises, the chametz rises, it represents the Yetzer Hara, it rises. Gaiva, the source of Issa, represents haughtiness, which represents desires. So to speak, but we have to realize that to have matzah, in order to be kosher, you have to realize that it has the ability to become chametz. Every person has to realize that the Torah, being spiritual, it was not given to malachim, was not given to angels, it was given to people who have weaknesses, who can become chametz. We have the ability to be, we have weaknesses, we have the ability to become chametz, so to speak. But the job in life is to be spiritual and to be able to recognize that we have weaknesses and to be aware of those weaknesses and to be able to live a life, so to speak, of the, which represented by the matzah, which is spiritual. I don't know if I mentioned in the parsha, but it's not, some of you were not here. I heard a Hasidic idea. I mentioned this, want to throw it out. A Hasidic, it's not Pshana Manashtana, but it says Manashtana Laila Zemikolis. If you remember it, I think it's a cute idea. You remember it?
Yeah.
Why is Laila referred to as Golos a lot of times, as exile? Manashtana Laila Zemikolis, why is this exile different than all other exiles? Why are we here so long, over 2,000 years? So the Hasidic rabbi said, Shebechola Leilos Anu Achlim Chametz Amatra. And all the exiles in the past, we used to eat, we recognize this chametz and matzah represents there's positive, there's negative, there's sin and there's mitzvah. But we gave into our desires. But once you recognize you're doing something wrong, you can come back and you can fix it up. But halayla hazeh, but in this exile, kula matzah, we say everything is fine, everything is 100%, all lifestyles and everything goes in today's society. So when you think everything is matzah, so you're never going to change, because you think you're doing everything right. So that was an interesting Hasidic idea. Okay. Also, you should know that the little difference between the chametz and the matzah, small little difference in the letter hey and the ches, also alludes to the idea that drush. I think the Sadegei Rebbe says that chametz is asur b'mashehu. We know that if a little bit of chametz falls into a pot during Pesach, even though the general rule is during the year, if you have 60 times the amount, becomes bottle, but by Pesach chametz is also, even if it's a small amount, any amount that falls into a big pot, it becomes, it's not bottle. So that's also alluding to, but a small little difference in chametz and matzah, chametz is also even, would ask even in the mashu. Now, Rabbi Shlesen Jehagoda, this is a Rabbi Shlesen Jehagoda, was written by the, he founded the yeshiva Kol Torah in Yerushalayim. which was where Rav Shlomo Zalman lived. He passed away over 50 years ago, so he must have passed away young. He was a young man when he passed away, I think. His widow was a widow for maybe 40 something years or something. I don't know how many years, 40, 50 years is where he had a widow. And 50 years later, I think at his Shloshim, 50 years ago, they printed a Haggadah from him, and I think 50 years later they reprinted it. A friend of mine brought it back from Eretz Yisrael, and he has a beautiful idea. He says, in the Haggadah, we mention the famous Mishnah and Brachos, I did not merit to prove the point that to prove that you have to mention your son every day and every night until Ben Zoma came, and Ben Zoma Darshan, he had a drasha, and based on Ben Zoma drasha, that's we got a winning argument, so to speak, to show that you have to mention Yetzirah Mitzrayim every day and every night. So Rav Schlesinger asks, we know the night of Pesach is different than every night of the year, the mitzvah of mentioning Yetzirah Mitzrayim. I mean, the Mitzvah Chasinuch asks the question, you know, how is the mitzvah of Pesach different than every night of the year? There's a mitzvah of mentioning Yetzirah Mitzrayim every night of the year. How is the night of Pesach different? So many, some say Pesach there's a mitzvah to elaborate on the story. If you look at the language of the Sefer Chinuch says in the mitzvah of CPC, the time of the night of Pesach, you have to talk about the miracles that he did in Mitzrayim, different miracles, and then the karma that God took against the Egyptians. Praise God. He has to talk to tell the story, so to speak. Every night of the year, you have to just mention, right? So you have to just mention Mantizka. The rest of the year is just mentioning Yetzirah Mitzrayim. That's all you got to do the rest of the year, right? Our scroll says, "Have in mind the positive commandment of mentioning Yetzirah Mitzrayim," right? You get to sit on Shachas Amirim, right? Have it in mind, right? It's right there. But that's all you got to do—a one-liner, right? But when it comes to night of Pesach, what do? We go into all this detail. You have to tell the story. And some say not only have to elaborate, you have to tell somebody else. It's a new mitzvah. V'gantul v'incha. You tell your son. You tell your children. If your person doesn't have a son, you tell somebody else. So he asks, why do we bring in the Haggadah? Why do we talk about the mitzvah of every night of the year when the mitzvah of every night of the year is different than what tonight's mitzvah? So what do you talk about every night of the year? Tell me about tonight. What are you talking about? The mitzvah of the mitzvah, that mission over here. That's the Rishon's question. What is it doing here? So he answers that the Baal HaGadol wants to teach us that the job that we have tonight of the Seder, the job of a black job, is to inspire the people that they're going to carry over for the rest of the year, that they'll be so inspired about Mitzrayim. When they'll hear the story in great detail, they're going to want to talk about it, mention it, and they'll be consistent and serious about mentioning it every day and every night. Where do you get that inspiration and enthusiasm from? That's the job of the one leading the Seder, the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, we're supposed to get the enthusiasm and the inspiration to mention it every night and every day of the year. So that's what Rabbi Schlesinger wants to suggest as the possible reason why it's mentioned. This Mishnah's mission. I wanted to say for a more practical reason. Practical rabbinics. I'll tell you what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, if you look at the world today, if you ask people, when do we talk about Egypt? When do we talk about the Exodus? You know what they'll tell you? The night of Pesach. Passover. The rest of the year, does anybody know? Not many, anyway, there's many, many secular Jews and uneducated Jews who might not, maybe could make a big mistake. There's such a big focus on tonight, people might forget, and the rest of the year, they might not even realize so much as a mitzvah to mention Yetzirah Mitzrayim the rest of the year. They might just say that it's a one time a year business. We're making such a whole big deal about this. It's like Independence Day, right? Independence Day is celebrated July 4th. After July 4th, they don't celebrate it. But we celebrate our independence every day and every night. And therefore, since we celebrate every day and every night, so maybe the Baal HaGadol wanted us not to make a mistake and think it's only one night a year business, and to emphasize it. And therefore, maybe that's my own thought, and maybe that's why it's brought down in the HaGadol to say, hey, don't make a mistake. You also have to mention, at least mention it, every day and every night. Now, there's also everyone knows when they went from elementary school, the very very famous little gemara, what do you call it, treken, whatever you call it, the hisha amdala vaseina, right? So the hisha amdala vaseina, not only one wanted to get up to destroy us, every generation that comes to destroy us. And everyone learned when they were in elementary school, the vav stands for, is alluding to maybe shisha to the mishnah, the hate alludes to the chamisha chumshe Torah, yud alludes to the seres zibrot, and the aleph alludes to what, and Hashem, belief in Hashem. The hisha amdala vaseina, right? It's a very, this is Hisham Lavasin Valona. What stood for us that we should go ahead and be victorious and merit the Gula? That we should be redeemed the Hishamda. It's the Aseret, the Shisha Siddur, the Mishnah, the learning, the Aseret Dibros, the Kima Mitzvot, and the belief in God. That's what, right? That's the famous thing everyone knows. Hisham Lavasin Valona Shalacha Chosbar Sam Yadam. I wanted to say I say the same thing, but I want a different explanation of the Aleph. Aleph, the way the world says this Torah, I think it's the Aleph is the belief in Hashem. That's the Aleph part, right? Everything represents the Hey, the Yud, the Hey, right? Everyone represents something else. Aleph represents belief in Hashem. And I wanted to say that, like this, the way you get to an Aleph, I mean, Rabbi Schlesinger just tries to discuss why that order of the Vav Hey, to get to the Aleph, to get to know Hashem, is through the Vav Hey and the Yud. How do we get to Hashem? How do we reach the Aleph? How do we reach God? How do we understand God in our life? It's the, when you have the Vav, when you learn Mishnah, when you learn the Chumash, when you learn the Aseret Yud, the Aseret Dibros represents the whole Torah. That's the Aleph. Then you'll reach God. How am I going to reach? I want to be spiritual. How am I going to reach God? I want to know God. This is how I know God. When you go ahead and you focus on the learning, through the learning, that's how you'll know God. Also, I heard, you know, it says in the Mishnah, I think in Megillah, that Hallel is only said by day. Generally speaking, when do we say Hallel? The Mitzvah comes Rosh Chodesh. When do we say Hallel? By day. Hanukkah by day. The question is, what's that the night of Pesach, that they said where is it? Where they bring, there's two different limudim. Either it says Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo, from the sun to sunrise, sunset, so to speak, or Zehayom Asa Hashem Nagila Minitzchavo. So that's why you hallowed by day. So what's going on the night of Pesach? We have hallowed at night. So I heard someone, Rabbi Fisher, said over that we know the Rambam, there's a girsa in the Rambam, Chayiv Odom Laharos Es Asmo, right? The Haggadah says, Chayiv Odom Liros Es Asmo. You have to see yourself as if you went out. The Rambam says, Chayiv Odom Laharos, you should show as if you went out. So based on that, if you're showing that you went out, as if you went out now, so right when you go out, you would sing a song. If you went out, you would say immediate praise. But if when we're coming to do something like a zecher to something, a historical event that happened in the past, right? The miracle of Hanukkah, or the miracle of or the Yom Tovim that we'll say hallowed by day, right? So that's commemorating a historical fact that happened. But when it's as if you went out, I went out tonight. You went out tonight. You got to sing. You just have to. You have to sing the praise. So that's an idea. We have, and my father-in-law, Rabbi London Zatzal, what he would do is he would say, let's get going. We're going. Let's go. And let's go. He takes a pillow and let's go. And he would say, let's go. And he gets up, and everybody gets up. We're going. We're getting out of here. We got to get out of here. We're getting out of Egypt. Based on the Rambam, Chayvah Nerus, it made it, and it's very good for the children also. It keeps them, it's also, we're supposed to do different things for the children to keep their attention, as you know, that's some of the things that we do. We have the Afikoman and so on and so forth. This is also a highlight, one of the highlights.
So that's not really so clear in the Rambam. It says, Chayvah Adonai Haos says to Makilu, Hu Yatami Mitzrayim, and if he personally went out to Mitzrayim, doesn't say he had to show himself as if he's going out right now.
Okay, but very good. Yeah. Well, yes. But this is the idea. But this is the idea that he wanted to.
There are.
That he wanted
I
to
know
say.
There are people who do that sort of thing. but I don't think it's clear from the Rambam.
Okay. Now, you know there's a very famous Torah Tzmima. I think it's famous. I don't know, because I know it. Maybe that's why I think it's famous. No. What the Torah Tzmima says, it says, you have Dalet Kosos, right? And the Torah Tzmima quotes a Yerushalmi. The Dalet Kosos is Keneged Dalet Geulos. Now, there's maybe other places that says Keneged Dalet Lashono Shel Geula. The four cups represent the four languages of Geula. But the Yerushalmi says Keneged Dalet Geulos. So the Torah Tzmima expounds on that, and he says maybe the Yerushalmi is telling us just because it's not that because there was four languages of. If you would just say because of the four languages, that might not have been enough for the Chacham to obligate us to have four cups of wine. Because the Torah would describe an act, something that happened with four different languages, four different words to describe it. But each word represents a different stage, a different geula, a different redemption, as the Yerushalmi says.
The other possibility is that when it says Dalet Geulos, it's counting Mitzrayim as only one of them.
But let's how the Torah says it. The first geula is that you're going to be taken out from the sivlos is a difficult work. It's a hard break back labor, whatever, breaking the back work. But you're still working. But the second stage is v'salti eschem me'avodosam. I'm going to take you out from working at all. You're not going to have to work anymore. But you're still citizens of the land. Still citizens of Egypt. The third level of the third stage of Gula is the Altiyeschem. I'm going to take you out of the country. And the fourth Gula is what? Lakafi Eschem. I'm going to give you the Torah. And the fifth Gula, the fifth, as Kosh Eliyot, the Avesi Eschem Elaris to bring it to Eretz Israel. So it represents the four different stages of Gula. But I wanted to say, we see also that one of the Kosos represent the Lakachti Eschem Nilam, taking me as a nation. That it's not enough. A geula is not complete. A redemption is not complete if it's just a physical redemption. You left the country. You're not working. Or you're free. The Russians came out of Russia. That's not enough. It's not complete. It's only when we provide them with a Jewish education, then it's a real redemption. Then it's complete. So therefore, v'lakachti eschem li la'am is coast number four, right? I'm going to take you as a nation, and that you're going to have the Torah. That's going to make you. You have to see if the Targum said this or not. If they haven't looked at it recently, but this is how I'm presenting it now. V'lakachti eschem li la'am. That's your geula. That's your redemption. You know, ein lecha ben chorin elami she'osek b'Torah. It says, who's really a free man? There are a lot of people walking the streets. You see the drunkards that are asking me for money, you know, on the street here. There are a lot of them. They're free, but are they really free? If they don't have the Torah, they're not in control of themselves the way they should be. What makes someone free? You control yourself, and that's the geula. We have to recognize that it's not just a physical freedom. It's that we're going to be a nation and get the Torah. And that's the merit why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Because the merit was because we're going to get the Torah later. And that's why directly connected to Pesach, starting the second night of Pesach, we start counting towards Shavuos. Because there's a direct connection to Pesach and Shavuos. That's why we came out of Pesach, was to get the Shavuos. The Sefer Chinuch is, so why don't we start counting the first night of Pesach? Sfira. So Ayin Sefer Chinuch. But the point is we're counting towards the Kabbalah Satorah, and that's what we're doing. And if you'll notice, well, I'll end with this idea. Every day, how do we count? Today's day one in the Omer, tomorrow's day two in the Omer. By the way, everyone also have to remember we're going to start saying Saint Bracha Chol HaMoed. We're starting to say the Saint Bracha. We've got to keep that in mind. But we can't, how do you, when space shuttle is blast off, when you want to count down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, how many days left to the college, to the semester? 20 days. Today you'll say 25, 20. Do you count one day? I'm one day into the semester, 2 days into the semester, 3 days into the semester. How do you count, Abe? I think people count 20, 19. So the question is, Dave Achinov also asked the question, why do you count? Okay, it's one day in the Omer. So you should say, 49, 48, 47. 3, 2, 1, blast off, I got the Torah. Like the question? I'll tell you what I wanted to answer. I wanted to answer, because when you count 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you know what it means? I'm not interested in say number 10. I'm not interested in the number 10 or 9. I'm only interested in getting to the 0. I'm not interested. I'm counting this 10 days left for semester. I'm not focusing today's first. I say it's one day in the semester. I want to focus on that. I just want to reach that level. It's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Boom. 10 is not a point. 8. But when I say today is day 1 in the Omer, tomorrow I can't say day 2. Today, I'm count. Every day is count. I'm not just interested in getting to that. Today has meaning. Today is day 1 in my preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Tomorrow is day 2 in my preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Today is day 3. Every day is another day under my belt in my preparation. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Every day when we have Sfira, we're supposed to figure out how are we adding into our preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And really, I don't want to talk about the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, because who am I talking about the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva? To understand what the Shinohoga Kovazel is there. I mean, these are great people, great tzaddikim, whatever, on their level, they were something, what they were, you know, Hashem punished them. But I will say, I once heard, specifically, they died at this time period, between Pesach and Shavuos. Question is, why at this time period? So I once heard a very nice idea, because this is the time period of preparing for the Torah. And this is time period that you have to focus in, and what is Torah all about? And especially in this time, what's expected of us, and if they were missing in something, and whatever they were missing in, that's why specifically at this time. So this is a time of, we came out of Mitzrayim, and we're now becoming a nation, so getting ready to become, this is a time of preparation, and it's a time that we should all, you know, recognize that, as if we came out of Mitzrayim. We came out of Mitzrayim. You have to know why did Hashem, the same reason why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and is also why Hashem is what wants from us, is that we should accept the Torah. And maybe Bez Hashem, that the same way, in the merit that they had, merit of that they're going to accept the Torah, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem, because we are all going to accept the Torah properly, we're going to be preparing ourselves for Shavuos. Hashem should take us out of this galus and bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Bin Yisrael, based on Miklash, may have remained. I want to show everyone a chakot shemir.